Blog Talk Radio.
Continuing to listen in and to
hear what thus saith the Lord. We pray that God will continue to bless us in our every endeavor. And we thank you for spending your time sharing with us, praying for us, and trying to figure out what it is that God has as a plan for our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. We give honor to God, who is the head of our life, and we thank him for another glorious day. We are coming to you live from the City of Glory, better known as Gary, Indiana. And this is the Warfare Hour. Hallelujah. I am Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson, and we are podcasting tonight from the Living Way Christian Center here at 235 West 40th Avenue in the City of Glory, again, better known as Gary, Indiana, where our covering and our apostle is none other than Apostle Leonard Emmons. We give thanks to God and to Apostle Emmons for allowing us the use of the facilities to podcast each week. And we also give reverence to those that allowed us the opportunity to come to you once more and again. And when we say reverence, it's don't put anything more into it. It's just a healthy admiration for those that gave us the opportunity to podcast with you these months that we've been here, this year, and some change that we've been coming to you with the Warfare Hour. So we thank the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Builders International. They had another successful conference in Detroit on this past week, and it was an outstanding success. People were talking about it all over the country. And we also thank all of the intercessors, those of you that pray and put yourselves on the line. You pray every morning, got your prayer line, the prayer lines open, and just God bless you. You know, the Prophetess Teresa and Evangelist Hannah and all that make up the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders International. We salute you for doing all that you can to bring the Word of God to the nations. You've been striving to do it for 7 days a week, and you've had some great success. And we're going to pray that those that listen will continue to support the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Builders with their finances, with anything that you can that's going to help the ministry go forward. For they do it for you, to make sure you receive what God has for you. Amen. We represent the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International, where I am the pastor. And we have a philosophy. For those of you that's listening for the first time, we welcome you with us. And we want you to know a little bit about us. Normally, I have some partners in crime. I say that jokingly, tongue in cheek. We've been blessed to have three hosts to assist us. One is on sabbatical in Detroit right now. That's Prophet Matthew Barnes. And our regular host that's with us is Prophet Corey Graddick. And we thank all of you for your prayers on last week as he funeralized and did the eulogy for his father, Judge Graddick. And I know he wants to thank all of you for the kind words and wishes that you have had for he and his family. And they got another child on the way any day now. So he's on another duty right now taking care of the missus. Amen. Hallelujah. We pray for a healthy birth on May 17th. Amen. Also, we've had, and he's the originator of the Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries, and as well as our own cousin and friend, brother, has been helping us out in the last few times we've been on the air, Evangelist Prophet Anthony Mitchell. And we try to bring to you, men and women of God, some men and women of substance, men and women that are like-minded, men and women that's going to be able to affect your heart, to affect your thoughts, to make you say, and to give you something that's going to last, to give you some wonderful war-filled prayers, to uplift you and to be able to give you something that's going to carry you throughout the week. And that is the design of the Warriors for Christ, House of Prayer Church International. And again, we thank the Kingdom Daughter and Kingdom Builders for allowing us this opportunity. Amen. We recognize that prayer is appropriate. And we have several prayers that we intend to initiate on tonight. But one of the things that we want you to know and to remember is that our podcasts are, you can get us live as you are now by calling the telephone number 661-449-9911, or you can also listen to us on the web, www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. And you can go to the demand block and type in either the Warfare Hour or Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson, and you can review any of the podcasts that we've recorded. We've been blessed to have over 50 recordings, and you can listen to either any of them because they are warfare field keys to the kingdom, keys to help you overcome. And God has blessed us, and we pray that they've been a blessing to you. Amen. Okay, get whatever it is you're going to use, your pencil, your paper, your notebooks, your iPads, whatever it is that you use, any kind of recording material, and get ready for our fourth session of what we've been studying in the book of Revelation. We've been in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and we've been in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. We've been really, really blessed. And one of the things that we always do each week is we have you repeat this prayer with us out of Psalms 119 and verse 18. And that prayer is, open thine mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalms 119 and verse 18. And ironically, the theme for tonight is, open thou mine eyes. We discovered on the last time that we were on the podcast, we had been discussing return to sender. Since we've been in this series of Revelation chapter 4, it's concerning several things that we've been trying to get across to you, and we're going to just do a quick synopsis. One is that angels are key to our lives. And one of the other things that we've been discussing is we may not have always been taught the significance of angels in our lives. And with that being a stepladder, if you will, it's so key that we recognize that angels are messengers of God. They were designed, God made them strictly to be messengers at his bidding, not ours, but at his. So when we make a demand, when we make a request, when we express a desire, when we have a wonderful thought or and we ask God for something, it's he that sends the messengers and dispatches them to us. And we've also been discussing that we have our own personal angels and that we also have angels that are regional, that are responsible for, for lack of a better way of looking at it, the clearing of the airways, the clearing of the spiritual things that can hurt us, hurt, harm, and kill us, or those things of calamity, and they have territorial grounds. In other words, we also have talked about how the enemy has tried to duplicate or copy whatever it is that God has created. And he's, just as God has an army, the enemy, Satan, has an army as well. And his army has territorial jurisdictions, and they pray against us and they plot against us. And so God continuously dispatches armies of angels, giant angels with flaming swords of fire to protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. But here's the thing. As we've been talking about these things, we recognize that in Revelation, the second, third, and fourth chapter, John is receiving this vision, and God is telling John to write these things to the angels of the seven churches. We've also been talking about the seven churches. We've been talking about how the seven churches traditionally have been known because they were written in the scripture as being located in Asia Minor. But what we're doing in this study is not concentrating on the location of the churches. We also are not concentrating on nothing but the angels who are being dispatched to give the information to the churches. We also have been discussing how, if you look at each of the churches, God talks about some things that he likes about the church, and he talks about some things that the church has fallen short in. It's also been our intention to share with you that we, being the church, have these shortcomings and these things that we are good at in all seven of the churches. So we're not looking at it from a geographical root, but we're looking at it from the churches being an individual tree, if you would. Just bear with me for a second. With many roots, a tree with many roots. And those sins that are listed, or those shortcomings that are listed in each of the root or churches, if you look at the branches or the roots of that tree, you'll find that there's other sins that are attached to the particular tree or the particular church. So what we've been saying, what we've been attempting to share with you, is that as you identify with the shortcomings that you have in your own life, as listed in the seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you confess those shortcomings and sins, and you begin to overcome those shortcomings and sins, you are breaking off those other roots. You're breaking off those things that are hindrances. You're binding things that are on the earth, and you're placing yourself in a position to receive some very spectacular rewards. Some things that in previous scriptures prior to Revelation were restricted from man. And we've been sharing with you what some of those restrictions were. And we're going to continue on today. And so just bringing you up to date, we began with the door is open, which was Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Whereas the master was telling John to write this. It says, after I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet. So it was a loud voice. It was something that was heard all over the place. But it was talking to John, because it said it was talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, which is translated in the future. Now, men and women of God, it is my revelation that God has given us an open invitation to come up to the heavens. See, the scriptures tell us that we are to worship God, and the only way that we can worship God is in spirit and in truth. The way that we worship God in spirit and in truth is through our prayers, through our fasting, through our putting ourselves in a position to let him know that we're talking to him. One of the things that, you know, in one of the earlier podcasts about a year or so ago, we talked about the seven steps to prayer. Prayer is the key to success in everything that we do. Amen? Amen. The seven steps to prayer deal with things that put us in a position to be able to talk to God. When he says the door is open in this fourth chapter, verse 1, and invites us up, it's no coincidence that it parallels what he said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's turn there before we talk about the seven steps of prayer. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, because we've gone through the first three churches, and we're going to just go back over them real quick and then go back into where we are this week, which is Open Thine Mine Eyes. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3, and is born and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Good things. Verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore, verse 5, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, okay? And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, verse 7 says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise. Now, here, as we've described before, we invite it back to our first love. And many times when I've listened to pastors and preachers, and they say return to your first love, I've always thought about the first time that I came in contact with somebody that was preaching the gospel and I learned about Jesus. It's a good place to start. And there was a lot of emotion and everything, and so that's what I remember. But here, this is real deep, men and women of God. So I want you to, as I tell you, when we do things, sometimes we challenge you to think outside of the box. See, God is not inside of a little small box. He's infinite. And there's so many things. He can do it any kind of way he chooses to. I'm sharing with you a philosophy and a view that I challenge you to go ahead and do further research yourself and find the truth and understand the truth either as you hear it or investigate it further. And I always try to give you scriptures and references to back up what it is that we're saying. Here, it's indicated that through Revelation, we've been invited back to our first love. We've been invited back to where we were before we were in this earth suit. And this is the thing that you really ought to be happy about. God has seen that things is not going our way down here. One is, when we were children, we was able to see things with a mind's eye, without fear, without doubt, with no hesitation or reservation. And it was because we were young in this flesh, not fully corrupted by the lust of the flesh, we were able to see our angels, those that have been sent to protect us, those that were sent to be warning and companions, those that are around us all the time. But as we got older, we began to lose our spiritual sight. Can you believe that, men and women of God? So God has invited us back to our first love. And our first love was when we was in the spirit. Because, see, we had a conversation with God. Just as Jeremiah chapter 1 speaks of, Jesus said he knew Jeremiah before he was in his mother's womb. And what happens is sometimes when we read scriptures, we don't personalize the scripture. We think that God is just talking to that one person because of that circumstance and because of that thing. But everything is in there for a reason. The shadow of Jesus was the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament is a shadow of Jesus, which means Jesus was in front of it. He was so large, he was so huge, he was so outstanding, he was so omniscient that he cast a shadow even before he came in the flesh as the Son of Man. Hallelujah. I ain't trying to get deep on nobody, I'm just trying to share something with you. So even though Jesus told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, many of us have heard that God knows every hair on our heads. He knows, and when people get in trouble and don't want to do things all the way God said, what do we say? Oh, God knows my heart. And he does. Why is it that he knows your heart? Okay, Apostle, I'm glad you asked. Listen, here in this second chapter, going back to our first love is reminding us of where we were before we came down here in this earth suit. This earth suit called flesh. Whoo, kind of deep, ain't it? Let me share this with you. See, when we was in the spirit, we saw the angels flying around. We saw the 24 elders. We saw everyone worshiping God because we was part of that. We didn't have no problem. See, all the stuff we talk about now, it don't take all of that. It took all of that and a bag of chips, and we was doing it willingly, gleefully, joyfully when we were in the heavenlies. And we remember that. And we talked with God. We walked with God. Yeah, that's right, before we came down here in this earth suit. Because the scriptures say he knew us before we was in our mother's womb. How did that happen? We had to have some kind of conversation with him. We had to have made some kind of covenant or promise to him or with him. He gave us an assignment, and we're here in this earth suit to fulfill that assignment in order for us to get our glorified body and to live eternal in the heavens with him forever. But there's a prerequisite for that. It just costs you everything. It just costs you everything that you got and everything that you know. See, he wants you to go back to what you knew. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam was as close to perfect as perfect is. Until the fall, he was perfect. But he was on the earth as a full-grown man, but he was seeing everything that we saw in the spirit before we came to this earth suit. In other words, he talked to God every day, all day. He was able to see. He and when Eve was created as well, she was able to see up into the heavenly. She saw other angels. That's why it wasn't nothing unusual when he saw the serpent in the garden. He'd seen things like that before, so he wasn't alarmed. And this is what we have to go back to. Here we've had the sin of forgetfulness. Now, we've also shared with you over time that all of this wasn't our complete fault, because our parents were charged to teach us certain things. And they did, but over time, their parents and the parents before them, each generation got less and less or further and further away from doing it the way God said do it. The way God said do it is listed in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through verse 9. And we've shared that with you over the past few times we've been on the air. But again, in order for us to be able to go back up and to look and remind ourselves, hey, I remember this, we need to pray. And prayer begins with confession. We need to confess our sins. And so what we've been studying in chapter 2 and chapter 3 are the sins or the shortcomings of the church, the strengths of the church and the shortcomings of the church. Amen. And so as you review, even if, you know, because sometimes we, you know, it's been taking us a while. We're not trying to move through this quickly. We're trying to make sure that it's a complete understanding to those of us that are listening and studying, that something's going on here, and it's important for us to know it right now. You've been seeing all the things that's been happening in the news. There's been lots of calamities. There's been lots of earthquakes, tsunamis, changes in weather patterns. It's been calamities of folks killing people. People doing random acts of violence, people using chemicals and other things that have been developed by man. We just going berserk. And men and women of God, I want to remind you of something else that we always talk about. The earth is out of tilt. The earth is out of tilt because we as the men and women of God are not in our proper place to do all the things that we need to do. And the earth is not spinning like it's supposed to spin. Psalms 82 speaks of that. We've shared it with you before. But we have to pray. As we said earlier, you know, the scriptures, all through the scriptures, kings and princes, priests and prophets have prayed to God for his mercy and for his grace. So when we pray, we ought to pray with all supplication. You know, in other words, we need to be humble. Humble men and women of God. We need to admit that we have some problems. And then we have to pray with adoration. We have to pray letting God know that we really, truly know him. And to know him is to adore him. Amen. See, when you, how many of you have grandmothers and grandfathers? If you either have them or have them, there's something about grandma, something about granddad. Oh, granddad could sit on the side of a chair and tell an old tale or play a banjo or whatever it was that he did that made you just, oh, that's my granddad over there. Or your grandma, she could cook, or she was a foxy lady or something like that, liked to dress real good on a big old church, pretty church hat on Sunday, could scold you and whoop you, could just look at you and make you do right. You had a healthy adoration for your grandma or for your granddad, or whoever it is that you admire. Some of you may not have a family figure, but somebody that was a mentor to you, that you admire, and you place them in a high position. Well, I'm here to tell you, men and women of God, when you pray to God, you should pray with that adoration that's 100 times more than we have been for those that's here in the earth. And what has happened is we give more credit to men than we do to God. Things that make you go, Another portion of prayer is intercession. Interceding on behalf of others. In other words, God really hears you at this portion of the prayer right here. Whenever you sacrifice praying for yourself to pray for someone else, that's when God hears you. Let me say that again. When you give up your will to pray for yourself, when you give up your right to demand what it is that you want, when you give up your authority just out of love and joy and peace to pray for someone else, that's when you begin to get God's attention right there. When you're praying for someone that's less fortunate than yourself, when you don't even consider yourself, that's when God hears you. Then there's the intimacy is created right there. That's intimacy. That intimacy is created because now you're praying with God. He's hearing you, and you're hearing him. Let me say that again. He's hearing you, and you are hearing him. That intimacy has been developed. When you look, Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we pray that we are back, and we apologize for our technical difficulties, but we got a crackpot crew that's taking care of all these emergencies and phones giving out, but to God be the glory. I don't know where we left off, but we were talking about the keys to the success of prayer. Amen, amen, amen. We were sharing with you the seven steps of prayer. We recognize that prayer is the key to success, and that those seven things that draw us closer to God, if we do these things when we pray, certain things open up for us. It's easier for us to communicate with God when we activate all seven of these principles in our prayer. And as we said earlier, we talked about confession. God knows that when we confess, he knows whether we are sincere or not. And he knows us. He knows every hair on our head. And so he knows whether or not we're being truthful or whether or not we're just blowing smoke. That's why the prayer is only to God, it's not to man. And then you should pray with all supplication, with all humility. You should be humble when you pray, because the person that you're praying to is a mighty, mighty, almighty God. And you should have a healthy adoration for that God that you're praying to. This is the God that created the entire universe, and the universe, everything that controls our breathing. We breathe 47,000 times a day. Got thousands and thousands of miles of roadway inside of our body that blood rushes through almost at the speed of sound. And it goes and it cleanses, filters, and operates all of the systems that's inside of our body. And God created that. So you should have a healthy adoration for the person that's able to do that. But here's the key when God begins to start listening to us. He begins to start listening to us when we intercede, or we enter into intercession. When we're praying on behalf of others and we've given up our will. You know, God's given us a free will, but when we take our free will and throw it to the extreme and we begin to pray for others, that's when we get God's attention. He loves that. And because of that, the next portion of prayer is what develops. That's that intimacy. That's when we begin to know him and he begins to know us. We begin to hear him when he speaks to us because of the intimacy. And when we pray, we should always pray with a certain thanksgiving. In other words, whenever we pray, we always ought to give thanks to God for him even considering us. And the last portion of prayer is the part that really gets us ready. And that is the praise. See, you know that the truth is birthed within you, and there's no guilt. The flesh is then dead. Guilt is gone. Surrender has been accomplished, and now you enter into the presence of God when you begin to praise. You enter into his presence. So as we put ourselves in position to pray, and we go through the seven levels or the seven layers of prayer, through confession and supplication, adoration, intercession, intimacy, thanksgiving, and then praise, that prepares us to be able to go back to our first love and to see those things. Now we're ready. We're open. We're not fearful. We don't have doubts. Now we can hear. Because remember, in these scriptures that we're reading now, it says, he that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And as we pray, men and women of God, you know, this is an appropriate time for us to go into some level of prayer. Because, again, in the beginning of the session today, we talk about what our theme for today is, open thou mine eyes. Now, we say that every week. But with what we've been studying, we're talking about the angels and them bringing us our gifts and our desires and our deliverances from God. But we got to be able to recognize the angel when they come. Because an ongoing thing that's going to occur is when we don't recognize the angel, we're going to have return to sender. When the angel can't deliver, when the messenger can't deliver what's being sent, you got to take it back to the sender. But I want to say that I want my eyes open. I want my eyes to be wide open. I want to begin to see. Some of you may be fearful, but here in Revelation chapter 2, when it talks about going to the church at Ephesus, going back to your first love, remember, it's nothing for you to be fearful because you saw all of this stuff before. So we want to be able to see our angels, men and women of God. Please, please, I implore you, want to see your angels. Want to see those giant angels with flaming swords of fire all around you all the time fighting your battles. Want to see the enemy. And talk to him and say, no, you ain't got nothing coming, dude. See, when you see the enemy coming, you don't have to, you can, he got to avoid you. When you point him out, yeah, I see you. No, you need to get on the other side of the road over there because I'm finna mow right through you. I'm finna build up a head of steam. I'm finna knock you off of your pedestal. Don't you want to do that, men and women of God? See, the door is open. God done told us the door is open. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He said, can you hear me now? Remember that a few weeks ago? Can you hear me now? He keeps coming. Now, we hear him all, you know, all the time, but do we hear him with any consistency? I'm tired of things that's designed for me, and because of my arrogance, I don't know about you, but because of my arrogance, because of my blindness, because of my inability, because of my slothfulness, because of my free will, because I want to do what I want to do, I've been missing out, and all my stuff been sent back to sender. Because I didn't recognize the sender, the messenger, when he came and knocked on my door and rung my doorbell, sat right in front of me, followed me all day, all week, all month, trying to give me what I prayed for 6 months ago. And guess what, men and women of God, if he did it to me, he did it to you. Your stuff been sent back too. I've heard different stories, different books where men and women of God had out-of-body experience, and they went either to hell and then ultimately went to heaven, and they saw a room with their name on it, and they saw all this stuff in there, different things that they had desired over here, and they looked over there and asked the person that was escorting them, usually it was Jesus, what's all that stuff there? That's the stuff I sent you. But it couldn't be delivered. And I'm a firm believer that return to sender stuff is still happening today, because when we was kids, we was able to see angels and stuff because we had no inhibition. But as we got older and all seasoned and everything, we got further and further away from our first love. Amen. So I'm praying now, and this is an ongoing prayer. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want to be able to see these angels. See, in the Old Testament, I'm telling you about how the Old Testament was a shadow of the new. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 15 through verse 17. Would you turn with me to that? Amen. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 15 through verse 17. Now, we went over this before, but it's key to what we're saying now about open down my eyes. See, as our eyes are open, we can see what's around us. And then there's no fear. And when there's no fear, we're overcomers. And when we overcome, in the second and third chapter, I've been imploring you to read the second and the third chapter of Revelation. For everything that we overcome, there's a wonderful reward. There was stuff that was previously we weren't able to have access to, but as we overcome these shortcomings as the church, now we're able to receive these things. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through verse 17. And here it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Which means, what shall we do? They saw the enemy's army. Here, the men that were with Elisha saw the army, and it looks like they were sent to just wreak havoc all over the place. It was thousands upon thousands of them. Now, haven't you been with mountains of bills? Seems like everything that you do is going wrong. People at work messing with you.
praise. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We're going to let God arrive. We're going to pray, and we're going to let God arrive. We're going to let God arrive. See, there's times in the ministry of prayer when the battle becomes very intense, and God begins to demonstrate his full strength as a man of war. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. That's Isaiah 9 and 5. See, during sessions of intensive spiritual warfare, you can invoke the divine presence of God by saying, let God arise and all his enemies be scattered. See, I have stated time and time again that any power that tries to challenge a true child of God is set for instant burial. See, we believe that failure is not an option. It's not an option. We believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We believe that as we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding and all our ways to acknowledge God, that he will lead, guide, and direct our path. So as you read chapter 2 and chapter 3, concentrate on those things that the church is being described as not sufficient in. And pick the ones that apply to you. Nobody's paying attention. You're doing this for yourself. Because you want to be able to see the angels. You want to be able to see and know that your angels are available. Your angels are around. And those problems, those seemingly overwhelming problems, are so minuscule compared to the angels and the help that's all around you. See, I have stated time and time again that any power that tries to challenge the true child of God is set for instant burial. You've heard me say that before. See, when you're involved with a battle with an array of evil forces, you simply need to shout with holy angels, saying, let God arise. When you pray like that, you are throwing a challenge to the enemy. And to the Almighty, you asking him to grant you more strength in the fullness of his power. See, he said the door is open. He said, he that has the ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Can you hear me now? I'm tired of things being sent, returned to sender. So I'm saying, open my eyes so I can see. These prayer points should always grant you victory in all your battles. Men and women of God, when you praise and worship, you got some scriptures you need to be taking a look at. Psalms 107, verse 23 and 24, and also verse 42 and verse 7. Psalms 36 and verse 8. 1 Peter 3 and 19. Psalms 142 and verse 7. Amos, the second chapter, verse 6. Job, the 20th chapter and verse 15. Psalms 97 and verse 3 and Psalms 118, verse 8 through verse 10. Now we say, open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. But now we're talking about arise, God, arise, God, arise, God. Let God arise. Holy Ghost, arise and destroy every evil habitation in me. In me, every evil habitation. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every satanic incantation pronounced against me, O God, we pray right now that it be rendered null and void in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For it is illegal, for powers of darkness to show up where children of the living God are gathered. Did you know that? Therefore, I destroy all demons and association of demons in this area right now in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have authority, men and women of God. You have authority. Exercise it. Every satanic gathering against this gathering, scatter in Jesus' name. Every association of demons against this gathering, scatter by lightning. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Tulsa, rise in your power and wage war against my adversary. In Jesus' name. All you crocodiles, I command you to vomit everything you swallowed up in my life. In the name of Jesus. See, sometimes we just gave stuff away. We just left it out there for it to get ate up by the crocodile. Oh, Lord, show me where the enemy has kept or buried my blessings in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, all the stuff wasn't returned to sender. Some of it was stolen, but we left it laying out. Holy Ghost, arise and chase away every evil dog. Every evil dog pursuing me in Jesus' name. All flesh and all demons. Be silent. Be silent. Be silent before God now. Speak, O Lord. Your servant hear it. In the name of Jesus. Yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you now. I can hear you now, Lord. I don't want myself returned to sinners, Lord. I can hear you now. I see that the door is open, oh God. I'm coming back to my first love, oh God. I hear you now. I have an ear, oh God. I've been hearing you, but I didn't know it was you, oh God. But I'm paying attention now. Yes, I can hear you now. I don't want myself returned to you, oh God. I want all my stuff, God. Open my eyes, oh God, so I can see the angel. I connect to the anointing of the Ancient of Days in Jesus' name. I connect to the anointing of the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And I connect to the anointing of fire in Jesus' name. I connect to the anointing of multiplication. 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 I connect to it. I connect to it. I connect to the anointing. I connect to the anointing of glory and honor and to a fire. Thank you, O Lord my God. Thank you, O Lord my God. Thank you, O Lord my God.
Men and women of God, put yourself in position. Read chapter 2. Read chapter 3. Those things listed in chapter 2 have two main keys, two main structures. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. We are the church. Then it says, to him that overcometh, at the end of every one of those churches, it says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life. Men and women of God, remember, Adam was not able to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. He says here in chapter 2 that we should not be hurt of the second death. That's Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, which is death and hell, and which that was cast into the lake. We also shall receive by repenting, by confession, by supplication, by adoration, by intercession, by intimacy, by thanksgiving and praise, repenting of our sins, hearing the voice of God, making sure the stuff is not returned to sender, using our spiritual senses to be able to see our angels or the messengers as bringing it, we will eat of the hidden manna. We will receive our crown of life. We would be given a white stone and a stone with a new name in it. And we would have power over the nations. We would rule over them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter. They should be broken to shivers. And we would receive the morning stars. What's the bright morning star, men and women of God? Jesus. 2 Peter 1 and 19 talks about it. And then Jesus himself says that we should walk with him and we will be adorned in white. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and verse 13. We'll be clothed in white raiment and he will not blot out our name out of the book of life but will confess our name before his Father and his angels. See, men and women of God, angels are so key to be able to do the things that we do here on the earth. God dispatches them to help us, and we need to understand that they're here for us. In conclusion, said we would make, he would make the liar saying that those that lie on us that are of Satan, they'll have to worship at our feet. And they'll do that just so that they'll know that Jesus loved us. And then Jesus will keep us from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world. And will date the whole world will be tried. And he will make a pillar of us in the temple of his God. And he shall go no more out and will not. And he will write upon him our new name. So to him to overcome, he will grant to sit with him in his throne, even as he also overcame. Read chapter 2. Verse 1 all the way through chapter 3, verse 20. And remember, chapter 4 says, the door is open. Chapter 2 and 3 say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We paraphrased it by saying, can you hear me now? When we don't hear God, when we don't see the angels, when we don't respond to the angels, the messengers that's bringing what God has sent to us, it has to go back to the person that sent it. And so it's return to sender. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of my stuff being sent back. And then the only way to overcome that is through prayer. And so I pray just like they prayed in the Old Testament. Open my eyes so that I can see. I want to see what's around me, the good and the bad. And I don't want to be fearful of it. If I go back to my first love, which was before I came in the earth suit, I wasn't afraid of none of that stuff. And I don't want to be afraid again. And we can overcome, men and women of God. I thank you for being with us on today. One more time.